Hauser.
Samson.
Hauser.
What's the matter? Couldn't hack field work anymore, so they made you White House hall monitor.
Welcome to Venture Brothers, Venture Brothers Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Grandma Tron Mason, 3000.
Hello.
And
I am glad to be here.
I didn't think you were going to go for it, and then you did. And then we have Nick, the Robot Freedom in version 1.1.
Hello.
I like that you really went for the 1.1. Like, I'm not quite perfect yet.
No.
Still working out the bugs.
Exactly.
At least he's in alpha, so there's...
Yeah. So this week, Venture Brothers Podcast is talking about Guess Who's Coming to State Dinner.
Woo!
This is a not popular episode. Even our note taker, Brock, did not have a lot to say about this episode. And when you go to the sources themselves, they don't have a lot to say about this episode. But we will try to break it down as much as we can. I don't think it's quite as bad as everyone makes it out to be, even if it's not their strongest. But let's dive into it. I will do the breakdown this week because I feel like being nice to everybody. Because breaking
you.
This one down is kind of a fucker. So this one takes place after Gargantua 1 has fallen out of the sky, and they didn't kill anyone, so Bud Manstrong, the cursed Bud Manstrong, gets a award for doing that, for crashing, I guess, and Rusty's really ticked off about it, but they all go to the White House to do it, and Rusty sneaks in a force field generator, and he's going to try to sell the president on it, and actually does a pretty good job selling the president on it. They don't really ever talk about that, mm-hmm. but... The president was kind of impressed for a moment. And the boys stay in the Lincoln stateroom where the ghost of Lincoln is there and he can manifest himself into anything that bears his image that is force field resistant. Man, this one's got some troubles. End of the day, Bud Manstrong has had a Manchurian candidate ship sort of thing in his head, and he's going to kill the president after he becomes vice president, become president, and nobody really cares. And that's pretty much everything that happens in this episode.
Yep. And that's about it.
Yeah, cool. There are some
good episode, guys.
Some holes in this one, but I want to kick things off with if you haven't picked it up yet, you can get it on Amazon for about half of what the cover price is. I highly recommend it to everyone. It is Go Team Venture, The Art and History of Venture Brothers. It's a great book. Art and Making of the Venture Brothers. Should probably just spend the whole episode talking about this book instead of this episode, because it'd be more interesting. It's an amazing book. But the first quote, because they break down every single episode in this, from Doc Hammer, is, "I'm not going to say one goddamn word about this episode." No one... I don't think anyone's really proud of their work on this one, which is kind of too bad.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a quote later on that that he's like, this is kind of the pressure that you get?
Something yeah, like that. It's... I've already just closed the book and I don't want to find it again. But basically they're saying, like, when you have a half-baked idea and you have a deadline, it's like, well, I either give them a half-baked nonsense or nothing at all, and I can't give them nothing at all, so this is what we get. And I think the major sticking point of everything in this episode comes down to what Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick have referred to before of just the problem with Bud Manstrong. Like, they love the character of Bud Manstrong, and they can't crack the nut of how to use him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because even...
It's weird.
I like the idea of him. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
I think it's... I actually think we've all talked about it in Careers in Science, and they're pretty hard on that episode, but I actually think that episode's... pretty great.
I love that
episode. I think Bud Manstrong works in that episode because
yeah.
he fits that environment. Like, you kind of have to have somebody who has, like, really strong morals and convictions and principles to stay up there for that long and not really break. But
yeah.
him playing off of his coworker also helps.
Yeah. And I think having him up there, I mean, he feels like, you know, the real man of the 50s. Type of thing of like this right. is what a man is respectful of women and you know to a degree and is a astronaut and all of this stuff and he's just you know a paper cut out of exactly what you'd expect him to be and that's it works to his advantage as a character to be that shallow and that paper thin.
Right.
But I think it falls apart when they try to make him something else, like in this episode, when they try to make him into a Manchurian candidate type of thing. And it's like, I don't know. It just falls apart.
Because I think the Manchurian candidate idea is a good idea. They made two movies out of it. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of funny stuff they could do with it. And I think they just kind of wrote themselves into a corner with that character. Because I agree with everything you guys are saying. Like, the character himself is a funny character, and you think he'd be easier to like insert into these sort of situations. And I feel like they really gave it like a solid effort both times. And I think he's the weakest thing in Careers in Science, although I love that episode. And
yeah,
but he wasn't the focus that time. And I think that was the major difference. Like, that focus exactly. was Rusty and the boys, and he was just kind of a side note. Whereas this one is all about his story. And I think when they tried to put the spotlight on him, that's where it just completely fell to pieces.
Yeah, because even in Careers in Science, he still has some pretty good one-liners.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, cool, funny. Huh?
You took it in the lap. Yeah, it's great moments.
I've seen your hands, your big sausage fingers. And I think, you know, just, you know, like, and that's it. And then they cut away and go to something else. And you're like, oh, that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then whatever. But yeah, since we're focusing on him, it's like, I kind of am bored and kind of hate this guy.
Yeah. And then the double down of the character of like, well, let's bring in his mom. And it's like, ah, oh, I don't like his mom at all. And not like I don't like her, like, ooh, that's a terrible character. She's so awful. It's like, no, she's just kind of awful. Like, I just don't want to spend any time with her in real life or in my couch watching her on my TV. Like, I don't need her.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And it's weird because, like, it does explain where he came from, but I don't think it's an explanation that you really needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not at all.
And there isn't much for her to do. To be fair, there isn't much for any of the characters to do in this episode because there's probably too many.
Yeah. You know? There's
a lot.
Too many is that's a good way to put it because it's just like they have them. They have, what's his name, Hauser?
Yes.
Who the fuck?
They have Hauser.
Oh, God.
They have the president.
Yeah.
They have JJ and JJ's extended family.
Yep.
Yeah. And Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And the rest of the security force. And then Hank and Dean. And Hank and Dean actually have a pretty good arc and adventure.
But no, Hank and Dean, they do a full-blown, I'm a nerd and I can't stand that they did this in this episode with Hank and Dean. There's a problem with Hank and Dean in this episode. And if you can tell me what it is, I'll be impressed.
I mean, I'll agree with that too. To where it's like I was rewatching it again. It's like, oh, Hank and Dean actually have an adventure episode, but I kind of don't really care.
Could you tell me what the major problem that they fucked up with Hank and Dean in this episode though?
Nope.
When they say "Go Team Venture," they high five. They don't do the fingers.
Oh.
Oh.
Drives me nuts every time. Like, why are you high fiving? What is happening right now?
Ugh. Maybe because they know that it's terrible.
Yeah, maybe it was just Doc Hammer and Jackson Public going, fuck this episode.
Can we... I know Brian doesn't like Ghost Abraham Lincoln, but can we talk about Ghost Abraham Lincoln?
I don't dislike him. I think it's... maybe I do.
Yeah, I think you do.
No, I don't... Yeah, I don't dislike him. I think he's kind of whatever, but... again, it's one of the things that we were talking about. It's like there's just so much and so many characters. It's like, really, did we need to add this thing in here?
No, for me, the problem isn't the fact that there's a ghost Abraham Lincoln in there that can, for some reason, move things with his image on it, which is stupid. But that's not the first time that's ever happened, so I'll forgive them there. It's really...
Is that kind of a reference to Ghost in a weird way?
No, because, I mean, Patrick Swayze can move anything. He moves the penny up the wall.
Yeah, but a penny with Abraham Lincoln's face.
Oh, Patrick Swayze's Abraham Lincoln and Ghost. I never picked up on that.
What?
Yeah, that's why he's dressed like him the whole time.
That explains the top hat. Ghost is a weird movie.
It's true.
No, I think the problem is this, that they, for as much as Venture Brothers can just shit all over everything and just be super funny while doing it, there's something about just, we have an Abraham Lincoln character here, and it's just like, we're just not even gonna attempt to make him Abraham Lincoln. It's funny, but at the same time, it just feels weird. Like, here's Abraham Lincoln making jokes about Rusty masturbating as a child. It's like, it doesn't feel like Venture Brothers humor to me.
Yeah
It feels a little too blue collar.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't, yeah. Like, usually their humor is so stupid that only a genius could have written it. And, like, that's what's funny about it. It's like, Hank is the dumbest guy in the entire world, but he's so endearing and lovable, and the writing behind it is so strong that unless there's basically a genius writing this, the stupidity wouldn't work in the way that it does. And then you have this episode where it's like, no, this is just lowbrow, dumb humor. And, like, that's not what I show up to this show for.
Right. I mean, and that's exemplified in actually both the presidents involved in this, which is the fictional president that's actually the sitting president in this episode, and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Both of which are crasser than the show usually goes for, but that's not the problem with it. It's usually, if they go for crass, it's at the expense of the person saying it, and in this instance, it's usually at the expense of somebody else in this episode.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is fine, but it doesn't fit the humor of the show's usual jokes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what the whole problem is. Like, for a season, especially a season that's as strong as season two is, like, to have this outlier, it's like, this is a weak episode in any season, but in the best, maybe not the best season, but what a lot of people would argue would be the best season, really stands out like a sore thumb. I don't think it's as bad as, say, like, the pilot.
No, not at all.
Like, there are still things that I enjoy about it, and we can kind of move through those like now, but it's still just, it just doesn't...
Well,
it feels cheap. It feels like all the jokes are cheap.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, first revision type stuff. Like, oh, that'd be kind of funny if he says something like this. And they're like, yeah, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
That'll work.
I also feel like it's a weird thing. Like, I know that they've touched on supernatural stuff before, but for some reason, having a ghost always felt weird to me.
I mean...
Like, you know what I mean?
Sure, but I mean, there's ghosts in the show, and they never really bother me. But this is the only one where it's like, I just don't really...
Are there ghosts in the show?
Yeah, they come...
There are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean... One quick reference was the Venture compound is built on a Indian burial.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Since they don't have leap year. That was just the first one that I could think of. But they do touch on the spiritual. That's not right.
The spirit realm.
Spirit realm, as well as science. And they usually do that in a much more confrontational way of science versus, you know, that stuff, material,
right,
and blah blah blah. And it feels very intentional, it feels very smart and intelligent way of handling it. And in this episode, you're like, oh, what if there was like a ghost
of Abraham Lincoln
that watched child Rusty masturbate?
Yeah,
I keep coming back to that because it's just weird. Like, it's just such a weird thing to have Abraham Lincoln do.
Yeah, it also just doesn't feel like, usually, I guess, like, what we're kind of hitting on in a weird sort of way is that it doesn't feel like what I would imagine Abraham Lincoln talks like. Like, he's very modern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
which I think is, like, it could have been part of the joke, but since it was not handled or as well as it could have been, it's kind of like, oh, it was kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they could have really ramped that up of like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, like, Abraham Lincoln is a ghost and has been alive and living as a ghost this whole time. And so his mannerisms, his everything is all modern. And so maybe he's not wearing a top hat. Maybe he's, you know, whatever. Maybe he listens to hip hop. Maybe yeah. it does.
Where, maybe he's wearing a snapback.
Ramp it up as the show. Yeah. It's like ramp it up as far as you can go. But it's like, this is kind of like a middle of the road. Like, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it. Maybe he just talks normal.
And maybe... now that you're saying like that, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Like, maybe it is one of those, like, if Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick really were just behind the gun on this one and they just couldn't figure out how to crack it. Maybe, like, if this is the best we got out of something that they think is unacceptable, like, maybe we're pretty fortunate that, like, there are things in this that we find funny.
Oh, for sure.
Like, the... Like, I do... Like, the, it's the stupidest joke in the entire world, but the fact that Rusty has this... Again, when Rusty makes things work, I feel like we have to call out to it. And he said that he brought a portable force field generator that does exactly what he said it would do. And it's amazing. And it works so well, unless you have club soda. And that feels like that Venture Brothers humor that I really enjoy. Just like that, I keep telling you, a little bit of club soda will get anything out. And she's just taking down the force field. Like, that's hilarious.
For sure. What I also love about that scene is that JJ himself is just kind of fascinated.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like, for him, there's no solution that's like, beneath him. He's like, yeah, okay, this is interesting, I could figure out a way to make this work. Like, you're just like, he's just fascinated by everything. Like, he actually is like a really good scientist.
Well, you can see, like, you can see that this is gonna lead to JJ going back to Spider Skull Island and doing a shit ton of tests on force fields with
exactly
soda. like I like that. Like, there's that sort of stuff in there, like, because that feels like the Venture Brothers show that I like that was the good stuff.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. There's another thing in this that I really enjoyed, and maybe I took notes on it. I was trying to.
Do we want to talk about Hauser?
No.
I mean, really, what's there to talk about? Like, the guy is just there to kind of be a foil to Brock, but he's not interesting or menacing, or like, I'm not even sure what Hauser does. You know what I mean?
I will give Hauser this much. He does have my favorite line in the whole episode. Like, I do not like Hauser at all. I'm glad that even they got rid of Hauser. Like, he doesn't come back. But he does have the strongest moment in the whole episode, where he's the only Secret Service person in the Oval Office. And he's like, well, I got to do my job somehow. So he starts setting up a perimeter, and everyone's just ignoring it. And he's like, hey, perimeter. Am I the only one who cares about perimeters? And then just that dawn of realization. Oh, my God. Am I the only one who cares about perimeters? Yeah.
That's pretty great.
You can hear, like, the world shattering inside his head. Like, oh, God, my life has been for nothing. I'm the only one who cares about perimeters.
Exactly.
That was my favorite joke in the whole episode, which is saying something. But I still think it's a funny joke.
No, it is. Yeah. And it's honestly...
Brock got a good response to him, too, of like... He's like, do you know that guy? He's like, yeah, we were in Nam together. What? You were, like, 10. It's like, didn't say we're during the war.
And that never comes back. Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot of loose threads.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of ideas that they just clearly didn't care about, which I'm kind of fine with.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about you guys? Was like, Graham, you seem to be almost as down on this thing as I am. Was there anything you really liked in it? That's not a good sign.
Not really. I mean, it's there. It's an episode. I agree that it's not as bad as the worst that we've seen. But I think I mentioned this before. I feel like this is just one of those episodes, like during a sitcom series, where they had last week, they had a really expensive episode and they paid a lot of extras and a lot of cameos and a lot of writers and stuff. And then they're like, all right, well, next week, we got to just stay inside and we can't spend any money.
It's a bottle episode.
And you're like, yep. And this is what happened. It's like, so I guess I'll just take it. It's an episode. I was still fairly entertained watching it. But it's just weird. I feel like I'm just watching a first take at it.
Nick, what about you? Was there anything that you really enjoyed in it?
I don't know. I do like the establishment early on of kind of how the ship gets crashed, essentially. But we're talking about, like, there's a lot of loose threads and there's a lot of flimsy stuff. So, like, why he's getting a medal, I'm not sure. How he survived, I'm not sure. Why him getting a hand job is kind of like the peak, you know, finale point of the episode is also kind of weird. Like, so I don't know. I didn't dislike it, but I do think that Graham hit on something that's correct, which is that this is like a weird hangover episode to the last episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird with animation because that's not really how that works, but it kind of feels
like
it.
Yeah, I know. That's why
it's... Well, yeah. I think it is because you can look at the... Do you know who does the voice of the president?
No.
It is Dana Snyder.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that from my experience with this kind of stuff, like with animation, they're like, well, we have Dana Snyder in for the last episode, so we have to pay him for 2 hours. We probably only are going to use him for an hour. What other episodes can we throw him into? And I think this was the kitchen sink episode because Brandon Small also does the voice for Hauser, who's probably in a handful of other episodes this season. So they're probably just like plowing through, and this is the episode that catches a lot of the kitchen sink scraps to just kind of like fill out. So I think there is a weird, you know, like this was the second or third or fourth episode they did with a particular actor or actress, and I think this is not that that's what shows, but I do think that it wasn't everybody's primary concern is the point that I'm trying to make.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. That sounds like that all seems right, and it's kind of interesting because it when you're on, like, I'm just looking at IMDb now and just going through it, like, it's still not a badly reviewed episode, like, even with all, like, these moving parts, but it is the worst reviewed out of the season.
Yes.
So, like, even if it was something as easy as, like, all right, well, we have him here, let's just record another thing, because I know they do that all the time. Like, tons of people do tons of voices in this thing. Like, even Mark Hamill did two in season 7, and it works.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For sure.
Because you have one voice that it's clearly Mark Hamill and the other one that isn't. And it's like they kind of do the same thing with Dana Snyder here. It's like, oh, that's clearly Dana Snyder because I know Master Shake. And then here, not really, but it works.
Exactly.
And I think this, I honestly think, I mentioned it earlier, I think this the best way to look at this thing is like, if this is the worst that they're doing when they're like batting 1,000, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there isn't really a lot to, I would say, hate about this. I would just say that there's a lot in this episode that feels kind of askew to this really strong season, but also like a pretty strong, you know, first 20 or so episodes of the actual show proper.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's just that it doesn't feel like it fits at that moment.
Yeah, and especially, like, knowing where the rest of the season goes, like...
Exactly.
It's just, like, it's a steep uphill, just, like, sheer rocket to stratosphere after this. Like, every episode after this is amazing. So it's, like, exactly. It's this weird lull, but here's the question that I'll poise around the table. Whereas in season 1, I would tell almost everyone to skip the pilot and just start with the real first episode, would you tell anyone to skip this if they were watching it? Because it has no bearings on the overall arcing plot of the season. The only thing you really need to know it for is, again, for season 7, something comes back way later.
Right.
Which there is a recap for, so you don't necessarily still need to watch this.
Right. I would say not to skip it, because I do think that it is like an appropriate kind of send-off for Bud Manstrong. I do like that character a lot. Like, so I think that it works for that.
Yeah.
But just, I would give it a caveat of just being like, this is probably the weakest episode in season 2.
I would disagree that it's a fitting send-off for Bud Manstrong, though. Because I agree with what everyone has been saying this episode. I like Bud Manstrong. I think he's a solid character just for the wrong show. like not even like the wrong episode. Yeah. I feel like they wrote a great character for a show that isn't the Venture Brothers. Because I just don't think he ever really fits beyond, maybe like if they stuck to him kind of like Careers in Science, where he's always just kind of like in the background somewhere, it might have worked better. But as a leading guy, nah, it doesn't work.
No.
But the way they send him off is he's knocked out, unconscious, masturbating. Like, it just, that doesn't feel like the right send-off for that character, to me.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of good one-liners, and his one-liner at the end of this episode is a pretty good send-off.
It is.
But the setup and the actual situation of it is pretty demoralizing and pretty gross.
Yeah, if the, well, the yeah, last line he has that... is perfect, but the...
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think he is, he's to be fair, I like Bud Manstrong, but Bud Manstrong is like kind of a failure.
What?
Like, he's totally a failure.
A failure on the Venture Brothers show? That doesn't seem right.
I know. But I mean, like, I think that humiliation and that kind of like, it's not a pretty ending for the character, but I don't think that character really needs or deserves a pretty ending.
Like, it is interesting because, like you said, he is a failure, but I don't think he sees himself as a failure. I think his biggest thing is moral high ground that he sees everybody is, you know, going down on. And so now he has that, and now for this ending, he has lost it all. He's failed utterly in his own mind. Well, so you are correct. He failed.
Well, wait, why does he feel like he's got the high ground on everybody because he's the one who passes out when he's getting a hand job as the...
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because he was able to at least not address that.
Oh, I see.
Even though he knew it, but nobody else knew it.
Now, finally,
at the end, then he's completely demoralized because everybody knows the real deal. But up until this point, he's been... An upstanding gentleman, you know, always respectful of his.
See,
you know,
I don't feel like he's that upstanding or respectful. I think it's his version of respect and upstanding. But
Okay.
I see what you're saying. Then, yeah,
in his own mind,
yes.
In his own mind,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but then I still think it's appropriate. Like, because not that I want him to fail, and not that I want him to go out in this like really embarrassing way. I think that it's just more. It fits. The world that they've established. Like, I don't think that there's very many characters that go out on top in this show, if any.
Yeah, I don't think so. Maybe you could make an argument for JJ, but even that one still, he goes out like an idiot. So, no, not really.
Right. And so I think that for this show, like, I do think he fits. I don't think he's utilized well. And I don't think this episode leans into what his strengths could be, but I do think it's kind of an appropriate send-off for what the show's already established and also kind of like what that character is. You know, most of the time, the characters that get sent off, they're sent off for their a fault that they overlook. And I think that a fault that he overlooks is that other people are human beings, and he doesn't really see himself as a human being. He holds himself to a higher standard, which I think is an absurd concept.
Yeah, I you're selling me on it, but I still just it doesn't make me
yes
like the episode anymore, or like
that's fair.
The way that he leaves anymore. Like, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's still just like it feels out of character. Like the whole like. The whole just crying, masturbating in front of everyone, it just never...
That, alright, yeah.
It just didn't feel like Bud Manstrong. Like, it felt more
That's
like...
That's fair.
It, I mean, and I don't mean to take a dig at these guys, they were my idols, but it felt more like Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick were just like, you know what, fuck this guy. Let's just get him out of here in, like, the most humiliating way possible where we definitely will never have to see him again. Like, how bad does it have to be so that he will not come back? This'll do it.
Yeah,
I think that's fair,
and I agree. I mean, you've pulled me around a little bit more on this episode, but now that we've talked about it even more, and actually, honestly, I'd say skip it. I'd say skip this episode because if you can look back and be like, oh wow, whatever happened to that Bud Manstrong guy? Is he still up in Gargantua 1? That's a better memory of him. than this.
Well, that I mean, the only reason why I'd say not to skip it is to see Gargantuan One fall, because like that's not a major sticking point, but it will become a thing later on with like all this and Gargantua 2, and then JJ goes to space for such a long time to build Gargantua 2. And it's not a terrible episode. It's just, I think you just kind of have to know what you're sitting down for. Of, you got a real kind of meh thing here, and then it will be better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But if you wanted to skip an episode, if for just some reason there's just one too many episodes in season two for you, this is the one you could skip.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, I don't have that many in me. I can do one less. This is the one I would skip.
Certainly.
Should we move into pop culture references?
Yeah,
sure. I mean, surprisingly, I have one.
I have two.
Okay.
Three.
One of ours might be the same.
I have three. So go ahead. Since I have three, I have backups.
Yes. Go ahead. Okay. So the moment that we're just talking about that I don't really like, but Colonel Bud Manstrong's line at the end of the episode, "My God, it's full of stars," is a reference to Dr. Dave Bowman's final words in 2001 A Space Odyssey, which I didn't realize until I actually looked it up. I was like, what is that from? So
I always remember,
and it's great, and it's wonderful.
I remember as the trailer to 2010. Is that weird? It's in the trailer. I remember it more from that than I do 2001, but
that's interesting.
It's a good trailer. Mine is, I have to go with the Spider-Man reference, because I love Spider-Man. He's amazing. And at one point when the president's about to maybe possibly be assassinated, Lincoln just goes, "Huh! My Lincoln sense is tingling." That's a good line.
I was going to do, because I wrote it down, because I just listened to this podcast. It's all about the Clinton scandal, and they bring up the cigar thing. And I was like, oh, it's a pretty subtle sort of nod to something that's kind of gross, but all right. And then it just kept going, and I was like, well, this whole thing is just a reference to the Clinton Lewinsky scandal, so I don't think that we can I can use that. So I'm just gonna say that the title of this is a reference to 1967's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. That's what I'm gonna go with.
You kind of had two answers in there. You snuck one in.
Well, I was going to go with one that I was like, oh, okay. And then it was like, oh, he's referencing every big sexual moment that happened between Clinton and Lewinsky. So, nope.
And not
like,
even
he even references a blue dress. Like, it's like, oh, well, all right.
And it's not even just references. At one point, he says, I'll take that blowjob now.
Yes.
Like, that's not just a reference. That's just fully just calling it out.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Talks about what happens to the dress, and yeah, a few things. Yeah.
Reference is a strong word for whatever the hell that was.
Yep.
All right, let's say goodbye to this episode, and then
please,
two things before we move into plugs. First, next week coming up, we have I Know Why the Caged Bird Kills, and it is a fucking amazing episode, and I'm very excited to talk about it. And I'm not sure exactly the date yet, but we are, thanks to a thread on Reddit, we are going to do a special episode on season 7, which Graham has to hurry and catch up and watch. And Nick just has to
do my best.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm the only true Venture Brothers fan.
Ha.
Ha. I'm trying to find the guy's name really quick. Give me
Freddit.
Give me 1 second. This can all
Graham liked it. Brian didn't hear it.
Brian's in his own world talking to himself.
I heard Freddit. Okay, so back it up a little bit. Again, that was thanks to user Yage2006, who's the one who, at least I think I'm saying that right, it's YAGE2006 on Reddit, asked for it, and we are going to attempt to do it, assuming that we can actually all find the season and watch it all, which shouldn't be a problem at this point. I can just give people logins and whatnot. I didn't say that. We'll bleep that out. Yeah, that's it for the cleanup. Quick round of plugs. After the hype, as always, be sure to check it out. We are done with Horror Month, which means we can finally get back to some of those movies that have been kind of like waiting in the wings. And we got Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, everyone's favorite Jurassic Park movie. So excited to talk about that.
Gross.
I still haven't seen it yet. It looked too bad to go see in theaters.
But take your own advice for this episode and skip it.
It's actually still in the cheap theater. I was actually thinking about seeing it.
You'd be better off going to see Venom, and Venom fucking sucked. So that's...
I heard Venom is like a turd in the wind.
It's more like a turd in a fan.
Immovable?
Like just blowing in your face. Constantly. It's not a good movie. Go see Bad Times at El Royale. That's actually a good movie.
That was good. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, so did I. I really dug that movie. That's it for me, plugs wise. And listen to Sam Wise, of course. Great new show on the ATH Network. Graham, Nick, anything to plug?
Nothing. I am unpluggable.
Cool. Nick?
I'll also plug Bad Times at the El Royale. California rooms are a dollar more. And go play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's a good game.
What? So thank you, everyone, for listening. We've been paying attention. There are more of you every week. So welcome to the show at the very end. Bye!
Bye!
Hello.